Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Davis, Minister of the Twelfth Hour Apostolic Assembly Church Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour, Libertyville, Texas. Today is November 22, 2016, August 16, 21, 2020. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, No, Not One. There's not a friend like the lowly Yahshua. No, not one, no, not one. Not else could heal all our soul's diseases. No, not one, no, not one. Yahshua knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Yahshua. No, not one, no, not one. No friend like him is so high and holy. No, not one, no, not one. And yet no friend is so meek and lowly. No, not one, no, not one. Yahshua knows all about our struggle. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Yahshua. No, not one, no, not one. There's not another, he is not near us. No, not one, no, not one. No, not so dark, but his love can cheer us. No, not one, no, not one. Did ever saint find his friend forsake him? No, not one, no, not one. Or sinner find that he would not take them? No, not one, no, not one. Was there a gift like the Savior given? No, not one, no, not one. Will he refuse us a home and heaven? No, not one, no, not one. Yahshua knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Yahshua. No, not one, no, not one. Part 5, Mount Zion in the 12th hour. A kingdom of peace. We're on page number 65 of Mount Zion at the 11th hour. By V.P. Hall of Track 8. We're going to continue our study until we finish this track. That a heaven-like safety and peace shall infuse the kingdom at the time that the Yahweh shall use it as his battle axe with which to smite the nations is evidenced by the following scriptures. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the second child shall play on the hole of the ass, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. He shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Yahweh as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah 11:69. When this state of knowledge and peace prevails in the kingdom, then in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, unto it shall the Gentiles see. Consequently, it is in probationary time. And in that day, the Yahweh shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, Isaiah 11:10-11. So he's going to set his hand to recover the remnant of his people after the kingdom is set up. And in that day, says the Yahweh, through his prophet Hosea, in reiteration of his covenant of peace, but I'll make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, with the fowls of heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and I will make them to lie down safely. Hosea 2:18. For a detailed treatment of Hosea's chapters 1 and 2, as in Noah's Ark, the top soul in the antipodal Ark, the kingdom, nothing shall hurt or destroy the lion, the wolf, the lamb, the leopard, the calf, and the fatness shall live peaceably together, and like the ox, all shall feed on straw. Thus now, as in Noah's time, Elohim shall preserve a remnant of man and beast out of his whole creation, instead of exterminating every living thing and then creating them all over again. Recognizing this fact, the Apostle Paul said, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of Yahweh. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption and to the glorious liberty of the children of Yahweh. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." Romans 8:19-23. "And he will destroy in this mountain this kingdom of peace," says Isaiah, "the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Yahweh Elohim will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Yahweh has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day," the day in which the Yahweh wipes away the tears from the faces of all his people, "Lo, this is our Elohim. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Yahweh. We have waited for him, and we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For in this mountain shall the hand of the Yahweh rest. And Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill." Isaiah 25:7-10. "And the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity." Isaiah 33:24. "Bless the Yahweh, O my soul, exalt David, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Yahweh, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Psalms 103:1-5. For further study of the subject of the continuation of life, see our tract number 5, Final Warning, 63-65. "And I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them again to place them, for I have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I have not cast them off, for I am the Yahweh, the Elohim, and will hear them. And they of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their heart shall rejoice as true wine. Yea, their children shall see it and be glad. Their heart shall rejoice in the Yahweh. I will hiss for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they have increased. And I will sow them among the people, and they shall remember me in the far countries. And they shall live with their children and turn again. I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt, and give them out of Assyria, and I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon, and place shall not be found for them. And he shall pass through the sea with affliction, and shall smite the waves of the sea, and all the deeps of the river shall dry up. And the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart away. And I will strengthen them in Yahweh, and they shall walk up and down in his name, saith Yahweh. Zechariah 10:6-12. Unfailing assurance that ours is a supreme privilege to let Yahweh reign over us. For centuries Yahshua's followers have prayed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now that the time has come for the prayer to be fulfilled, let us live out our prayers. Lest any of us be found among the unfaithful class with whom Yahshua concludes the following parable. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, unto whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Yahweh, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Yahweh, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise unto him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Yahweh, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin, for I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou laidest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I had laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it unto him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Master, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath it shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Luke 19:12-27. The certain nobleman in this parable is Yahshua himself, who soon after his resurrection departed to the heaven of heavens, the far country, to be crowned King of kings and Sovereign of sovereigns. His 10 servants, who are to occupy till his coming, represents manifestly the ministry at the close of the gospel dispensation, and his citizens accordingly represent the laity, the subjects of his kingdom. Together, then, his servants and his citizens make up his entire kingdom church. As they sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us, the only conclusion admissible is that shortly before his return, Yahshua shall inform his citizens that he has taken the reins in his own hand to set up his kingdom, and that they, upon hearing the announcement, shall refuse to submit themselves to the one through whom he is to rule. Observe that in the message which they sent after him, his servants did not say we will not have you to reign over us, but rather we will not have this man to reign over us. And this is talking about antithetical David now. We're down to that place today, and this took place at Kermit, Texas, 2002, between Verlus and myself, Verlus Johnson. What they objected to was I should reign over them through someone else. Clearly then, before he is coronated and prior to his return to reckon with his servants, he appoints a man to reign over them in his stead. Whereupon they say to him, by their attitude and stand toward his message, we will not have this man to reign over us. Although this man is, as we now see, is the antithetical David, the simple means of visible king. Thus, when Yahshua returns and reckons with his servant, he rewards the faithful ones in proportion as they have increased the principles with which they started, but condemns those who have had no burden to work for souls and to advance his kingdom, and who have been content to let him do without their services. For this unfaithfulness, he takes from them the pound, a lot of truth, with which he had entrusted them, showing thereby that all are to be held responsible for every ray of light, for every lost moment, for every neglected opportunity. And those who will not have him thus reign over them shall at his return be slain before him, as were those who rebelled against Yahweh's government in olden times. The Jews of Yahshua's first advent misunderstanding his mission, because they were blind as to what their message, the ceremonial service taught, and as to what the prophets wrote concerning him, misconstrued his doctrine and the kingdom, dearly coveting the fruition of their long-held hope of the kingdom. They were upset by the Yahshua's strange teaching and were ready to stone him to death rather than to have their errors exposed before the multitude whom they kept in darkness. So it is with the church today. She is as blind to the message of the hour and to the truth of Yahshua's kingdom as were the Jews in their day. And as the message knocks at her door with warning, her answer is, go thy way, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Though she is wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. The church of Yahshua's day was determined to have a kingdom set up then. When not all was yet ready for it, the church of today is determined not to have it now, when the end of all things is at hand. 1 Peter 4:7. When the time has fully come, the Jews wanted back the kingdom which they had lost, a kingdom of sin and sinners. They were eager to be freed from Roman bondage only, instead of from sin and sinners. Also, consequently, when Yahshua said, my kingdom is not of this world, John 18:36, they would not have it so. Whereas the church today, blindly ignoring the scriptures which plainly declare that Yahweh is now to set up his spotless kingdom and is to free his people, not from the Babylonian bondage only, but from sin and sinners also, is determined to put it off until after the millennium. Such is the ironic perversity of the natural heart. Even in the very face of the fact that in every way she is seen on the very verge of eternity in her purified state. In one of his grandest prophecies, Isaiah projects in lineaments unmistakable the great and typical counterpart of the Exodus movement. There shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was unto Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt, Isaiah 11:16. As the Passover and the slaughter of the firstborn firstfruits, who had not the blood on the doorposts, released Elohim's ancient people from the bondage of Egypt, so shall the antitypical Passover, Ezekiel 9:4, Isaiah 6:16, free the firstfruits, 144,000, his firstborn now, from the bondage of sin and sinners today. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Yahweh shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of the Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment, and by the spirit of burning, and the Yahweh will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion, upon her assemblies, a cloud and smoke by day, and a shine of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from the storm and from rain. Isaiah 4:3-6. For a more detailed exposition of the Exodus movement and type and antitype, read The Shepherd's Rod, Volume 1, page 64-111. In the light of the present truth concerning the kingdom, the following prophecy, along with numerous other relevant prophecies, is self-interpreting. Awake, awake, put on thy strength. O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down on thy throne, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the man-wrought bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith Yahweh, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and you shall be redeemed with that money. For thus saith Yahweh Elohim, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith Yahweh, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith Yahweh, and my name is continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy Elohim reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Yahweh shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For Yahweh hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. Yahweh hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our Elohim. Depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of Yahweh. For you shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Yahweh will go before you, and the Elohim of Israel will be your reward. My servant shall deal prudently, he shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men, so shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Isaiah 52:1-15. Seeing ourselves on the brink of eternity, we are impelled to join with Elder James White. Okay. I'm not going to read that. It says, only those who have a part in this antitypical Exodus movement will be privileged to sing the song of Moses and the Lamb and to share in the promises of the covenant and the antitype. Well, actually, what James White had to say, I'll go ahead and read it. He never had much to input with Ellen G. White. That was Ellen G. White's husband, James White. But anyway, he did say this, seeing ourselves on the brink of eternity, we are impelled to join with Elder James White in his enraptured exclamation, "Oh glory, hallelujah, my poor soul is set on fire for the kingdom, while I dwell on this sweet prospect before the true believer." If we hold fast but a few days more, the dark shades of night will vanish before the glory of the preparatory sins of the coming of the sons of man. A word of the little flock, page 8. Only those who have a part in this antithetical Exodus movement will be privileged to sing the song of Moses and the Lamb, and to share in the promises of the covenant and the Antitype. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Yahweh. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Yahweh. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. It will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Yahweh. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Yahweh. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Jeremiah 31:31-34. The old covenant or agreement between Yahweh and his people was based upon the promises of both parties, to wit, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of Yahweh the Elohim, to observe and to do all his commandments, which shall command thee this day, that Yahweh thy Elohim will sit thee on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of Yahweh thy Elohim. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt thou be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Yahweh shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Yahweh shall command a blessing upon thee in the storehouses, and in all that thou settest thy hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Yahweh the Elohim giveth thee. The Yahweh shall establish thee and holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Yahweh the Elohim, and walk in his ways. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Yahweh has spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto Yahweh, Deuteronomy 28:1-9 and Exodus 19:8. The first covenant reaches from the time it is ordained to the imminent and final indebting of the 12 tribes of a kingdom. And yet, though never invalidated by Elohim, its validity has been persistently negated by the New Testament church, and its sanctity violated by both the Old and New Testament churches until this very day. So as the people, failing their promise, have broken Elohim's commandment, they thereby also have broken the covenant that Elohim made with their fathers. But in the new covenant, which the Yahweh is now about to fulfill, the commandments of Yahweh, Exodus 20, verse 1 to 17, unlike in the old, will not be written on tables of stone, Exodus 31, 18, but in freshly tables of the heart. And at that time, all shall know the Yahweh, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, Jeremiah 31, 34. Exhibiting a church without terrors. This compact, which is about to take place in the second covenant, and his law being written on the heart, will be perfectly kept. Then and not before will the blessings which his ancient people failed to receive, be fully realized. Jeremiah also bears witness that this promised covenant has not yet been fulfilled, but that it is to be honored now and the gathering time deters. Thus speaketh the Yahweh Elohim of Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in the book. For lo, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith Yahweh, and I will cause them to return unto the land that I gave unto their fathers, and they shall possess it. Jeremiah 30, verse 2 and 3. These verses show vividly that Elohim is to validate the second covenant when he brings his people again from their captivity, while subsequent verses fix the time of this liberation or end gathering. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Yahshua of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve the Yahweh their Elohim and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Jeremiah 30, verse 8 and 9. This prophecy, we observe, did not meet its fulfillment in the return of the Jews from their captivity in ancient Babylon, because at that time Elohim did not raise up David their king. They did not, in fact, have any king at all of their own, but were under Medo-Persia rule. Prophecy, therefore, can be applied to no other time than today, when both Israel and Judah shall be joined into one great kingdom, established in the everlasting righteousness. Then they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, says Yahweh. Consequently, the fact that there has never been a time from the day that this scripture was written even to the present day, that every one of Elohim's people as a church or a nation has known the Yahweh and kept his commandments, again proves that the fulfillment of the second covenant of which the Exodus movement was a type is yet future. How long, says the Yahweh, wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Yahweh has created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man, Jeremiah 31:22. This woman must be symbolical, for no one person can possibly encompass another. She must, for this reason, be a symbol of the church, and the man must be Yahshua, who shall at that time have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, purified the church, Isaiah 4:4, Testimony, Volume 5, page 80. Then will he be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her, and dwell in the midst of her. Zechariah 2, 5 and 10. Though many variously raise their voices against Yahweh's establishing the seed of Israel as a righteous and holy nation, free from sinners, they shall fail to overthrow the plans of him who giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divide the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Yahshua of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith Yahweh, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith Yahweh, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundation of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith Yahweh. Jeremiah 31:35-37. As the promises are made only to Israel, the seed of Abraham, the original vine, which has been trodden down, this vine must therefore be raised up. Then the penitent Gentiles, by virtue of adoption in Yahshua, shall be grafted into it, and only thus become of the planting of the Yahweh. I say then, has Yahweh cast away his people? Yahweh forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Yahweh hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Watch ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession of Yahweh against Israel, saying, Yahweh, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altar, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of Yahweh unto him? I have reserved unto myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then is it no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which she seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Accordingly, as it is written, Elohim hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Elohim forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentile, how much more their fullness? For I speak unto you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruits, the Jews, be holy, the lump, Jews and Gentiles, also holy, and if the root, the Jew, be holy, so are the branches, whether they be original or grafted in. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, the Gentile tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the good olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou, Gentile, bearest not the root, but the root, the Jew, thee. Thou wilt say that the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear, for if Elohim spared not the natural branches, the unbelieving Jews, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold therefore the goodness and severity of Yahweh on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For Elohim is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you shall be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out a sign, the deliverer, and shall turn away unrighteousness from Jacob, for this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. And concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of the Elohim are without repentance. For as you in times past have not believed Yahweh, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For Elohim hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of the Elohim, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of Yahweh, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given unto him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him and through him and unto him are all things. Unto him be glory forever. Hallelujah. Romans 11. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. Yahweh hath called me Israel from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me, and said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught, and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with Yahweh, and my work with my Elohim. And now saith Yahweh, that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob, his posterity, again unto him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of Yahweh, and my Elohim shall be my strength. We too may say through the whole world, may Elohim reject Elohim and his message, yet we will trust in Yahweh. And he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel only. I will also give thee for a light unto the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Isaiah 49:1-6. In other words, those of Israel who declare the sealing message of 144,000 to the church shall also declare Elohim's glory among the Gentiles, which are a part of the house of Israel. They are Jews. Actually, they are Jews too. Thus be his salvation unto the end of the earth, and bring all their brethren for an offering unto the Yahweh out of all nations. Isaiah 66:19-20. Thus saith Yahweh, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, unto him whom man despises, the one whom they call this man, Luke 19:14. See page 71. To him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship because of Yahweh that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith Yahweh, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant other people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say unto the prisoners, Go forth unto them that are in darkness, show yourself, they shall feed in the ways, and their pasture shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them. Even by the springs of water shall he guide them, and will make all my mountains away, and my highways shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Yahweh hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. For Zion said, The Yahweh hath forsaken me, and my Elohim hath forgotten me. Isaiah 49:7-14. Sign, as we have herein seen, being the church in which the 144,000 are at the time, the sealing message is heard, and being as the apple of his eye, Yahweh asked her, Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste. Thy destroyers and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. Isaiah 49:15-17. That is, the sinners will be taken out of her, cast away from among the just. Matthew 13:48-49. Lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. As I live, saith Yahweh, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all as with an ornament, and bind them on thee as a bride doeth. See Zechariah 8:23, The Shepherd's Rod, Volume 2, page 281. For thy waste and thy desolate places and the land of thy destruction, shall even now be too near by reason of the inhabitants, and they that swallow thee up shall be far away. That is, a great multitude is to join the church, but the sinners shall be kept out of it. The children who shall have, those who shall be gathered in after thou hast lost the other, those who fell in the slaughter of the Ezekiel 9, shall say again in thine ears, the place is too straight for me, give place to me that I may dwell. Then shalt thou say in thine heart, who hath begotten me these, of seeing I have lost my children, and am desolate, a captive, and removing to and fro, and who hath brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These, where have they been? This question shows that the church is ignorant of the great multitude of the Revelation 7:9, the second fruits. So the spiritual house of Israel, the Seventh-day Adventist church, well, the Adventist church is not even aware of the first fruits, and she's the one that produces them, the 144,000. And whenever she does produce them, it's going to be like the woman at the cross. She gave birth to the man-child, to the Jewish nation, and they didn't even know it. That's a type and antitype right there. Thus saith Yahweh, Elohim, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring my sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders, and kings shall be thy nursing father, and their queens thy nursing mother. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet. And thou shalt know that I am the Yahweh, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith Yahweh, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. And I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood, as with sweet wine, and all flesh shall know that I, the Yahweh, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Isaiah 49:18-26. But when he seeth his children, the work of mine hands, in the midst of them they shall sanctify my name, and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and shall fear the Elohim of Israel. Behold, the name of the Yahweh cometh from far, burning with anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire, and his breath as an overflowing stream shall reach to the midst of the neck to sift the nations with the sieve of vanity, and there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. Isaiah 29:23, chapter 30, verse 27 and 28 of Isaiah. But the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand, because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left, the forts and towers shall be for dens forever, a joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field, and the work of the righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places, when it shall hail coming down on the forest, and the city shall be low in a low place. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. Isaiah 32:8 and 14-20. Hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid, fearfulness has surprised the hypocrite. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burning? He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppression, that shaketh his hands from holding a bribe, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munition of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Thine heart shall meditate terror. Where is the scribe? Parentheses, the secretary. Where is the receiver? Parentheses, the treasurer. Where is he that counted statistical secretary? The towers, conference presidents. Thou shalt not see a fierce people, a people of a deeper speech than thou canst perceive, of a stammering tongue that thou canst not understand. Thou shalt speak and understand all the languages. Thou shalt speak and understand all the languages. Isaiah 33:13-19. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your Elohim will come with vengeance, with even Elohim with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, it shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and an highway shall be there, and a way that way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransom of Yahweh shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and silence shall flee away. Isaiah 35:3-10. Inasmuch as both the field with the wheat and tares, Matthew 13:30, and the net with the good and bad fish, Matthew 13:47-48, represents the gospel church during the period in which the saints and the hypocrites are commingled, then the vessels into which the good fish are placed after the bad are cast away from among them, and the barn into which the wheat is placed after the tares are separated from it, must necessarily represent the church passing from its unclean state, field or net, into another, its purified state, which is symbolized not by the field or by the net, but rather by a barn and by vessels, a new place, safe and clean, where henceforth there shall no more come the uncircumcised and the unclean, Isaiah 52:1. Absolutely free from sin, because all sinners among the righteous have then been destroyed, since after the separation of the unconverted from among Elohim's true people, the church then comprised of the 144,000, the first fruits, or the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, is to emerge into a theocratic government. Inevitably then, the vessels represent component units, the tribes into which the redeemed are gathered severally, while the barn represents the composite unit, the kingdom, into which they are gathered collectively. And this great gathering, selective, absolute, and final, as it is only, goes to show again that the birth of the kingdom is absolutely dependent upon the purification of the church. I, Yahshua, have sent mine angel to testify unto thee the things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Revelation 22:16. Arise, that we may go up against them, for we have seen the land, and behold, it is very good. And are ye still, Judges 18:9, be not slothful, act promptly, get ready, follow the Lamb to the ruler of the land. This is where I've been wanting to get to. Again, I just love this subject. We're going to probably put this on hold and save it for our next study. We're getting close to the end of this hour, so we're going to reserve our next study with the subject of the Lamb, follow the Lamb to the ruler of the line. And then I'll just introduce you to it, and then we'll pick it up again on our next study. Send ye the Lamb to the ruler of the land from Selah to the wilderness unto the mount of the daughter of Zion. For it shall be that as a wandering bird cast out of the nest, so the daughters of Moab shall be at the fords of Arnon. Take counsel, execute judgment, make thy shadows as the night in the midst of the noonday. Hide the outcast, bewray not him that wandereth. Let mine outcast dwell with thee. Moab, be thou a covert to them from the face of the spoiler. For the extortioner is at an end, the spoiler ceases, the oppressors are consumed out of the land, and in mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall sit upon it in the truth, in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment and hasting righteousness. Isaiah 16:1-5. Though that this passage may seem to contain nothing more than the cabalistic language of a cadence mysticism, yet it holds lessons calculated to convert even the case-hardened infidel to the certain truth of the Bible. Indeed, if Elohim's people could get along without this scripture, we may be sure that he would not have taken either the prophet's time to write it or space in the Bible to record it. Or were it, in short, merely a mystical rhapsody of the prophetic tenor without a rhyme or reason, then it were naught but a piece of vain repetition, an imperfection, an impossible thing with Yahweh, so that attached no significance or importance to the verses would lay one under the fearful condemnation of the following scripture. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, Yahweh shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Revelation 22:19. Friends, that's my study. This is our contact. This is the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song, Who at My Door Is Standing?
Who at my door is standing? Patiently stalling there, entrance within demanding, whose is a voice I hear, sweetly their tones are falling, open their door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee. All through the dark hours dreary, knocking again is he. Joshua, art thou not weary, waiting for long for thee? Sweetly the tongues are falling, open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee. Door of my heart I hasten, thee will I open wide. Though he rebuke and chasten, he shall with me abide. Sweetly the tongues are falling, open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee.